Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And as we transition to hearing from your word and worshiping you by proclaiming and just receiving your word, I pray that you'd bless us and that you'd use it to cause faith to well up in us. And Lord, that we would hear your word, which is the voice of the good shepherd, as the voice of our good shepherd who laid down his life for us, that we would respond and believe and trust. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? Now, this is a special service, as many would recognize. And for that, I'm going to ask if you turn in your Bibles to Romans, into Romans chapter 6. Now, normally on a Sunday, what we would have is we'd have a sermon, which is God. This is what God has designed in the church, that, you know, many times throughout the week and throughout the day, you would discuss the Word of God and you'd love it and you'd study it together as people. But he's also designed the church in such a way that it would also just be heralded, announced to you, the way that a herald would come back from a war after the king has won a battle and come back to the city and say, "He's won, he's won." And this is what we're doing right now. But we also have the special privilege of having a second sermon today. I know everybody's thinking, yes, two sermons. Fantastic. But we're going to have a visible sermon afterwards. And that visible sermon is baptism. Something that God has discerned has designed to preach to us. And we're really, really excited about this. And baptism is the visible symbol of God's oath to all who trust in Jesus. So, Jacob, where are you at? Jacob, Trinity, Luke, Phil, Connor. Today I will be preaching for everyone who hears, but I will be addressing you in particular. Many view baptism as like a graduation ceremony, and it's good that we treat it as something special, a very special occasion, but it isn't good that we treat it like a graduation ceremony. Instead, we should rather treat this as an adoption ceremony. See, a graduation ceremony would be recognizing what you have accomplished and that you have arrived and what you have done. But this is rather a celebration of what Christ has done. We celebrate here this ceremony that Christ has died and that he has risen, and it counts for you, and that by his death he purchased you. And by his death he purchased you and you. And where the rest of you are, I can't see properly right now. So with a graduation ceremony, you are celebrating that you have accomplished something, that you have demonstrated that you are worthy enough of receiving that diploma and wearing that cap and gown. But this is not so with an adoption ceremony, which is what this is today. Today we are celebrating that Jacob and Trinity and Luke and Phil and Connor have been adopted into the family of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the unique Son of God. We're celebrating that Jesus' death and resurrection counts for you. We celebrate that when Jesus spoke of all those sins who would be paid for with his death, he was speaking of you. We celebrate that Jesus received damnation on the cross, and it was for you and your sin. That the punishment for your sin is paid in full, and that you are the recipients of Christ's reward for his righteousness. Now, this promise is not just for those who are baptized. It's all for who repent and believe. And this happened for you not when you get baptized, but it happened for you when you believed in him. For all who recognize that they're guilty, recognize that in their hearts they've been enemies of God, and who turn their back on that enemy relationship with God and trust in Jesus to give them his relationship with God the Father. And we celebrate that you are saved, not because you're getting baptized, but because you repented and trusted in Jesus. So this ceremony, this baptism, doesn't make you adopted. It doesn't make you saved by Jesus, but it is a gift from God for him to publicly promise some things to you. By this ceremony, what God is doing is he's grabbing you and he's putting you in front of a whole bunch of people, because I think most of you don't like being in front of people. But he's doing this, is get in front of here. He's grabbing his kid, he's putting him in front of a whole bunch of people and say, "I want everybody to know that this is my son and that this is my daughter. I want everybody to know that this person has been saved and has been adopted." That's what he's doing today. This is a gift from God to you. for him to make public promises to you. Now, this sermon is to glorify Jesus and how he saved you. And this sermon is for Jesus, but it's also for you. For you to take seriously, to take a deep breath of the promises that Jesus purchased with his blood. This sermon is also for everyone here who have also trusted in Jesus. For us to see your baptism and remember ours. To remember the promises that God publicly said at our baptism. In the same way that when you go to somebody else's wedding, watching them make their vows helps us to remember ours. This sermon is also for everyone who is here and who has not yet repented and believed in Jesus. Because when you hear the promises that God makes to these people, you will hear why you desperately need God to make those promises to you. And we pray that you will repent and trust in Jesus, and you will receive all those promises for yourself as a gift from a loving God. So, now we're going to get started with our sermon, although that may have felt like one already, but we're going to turn to Romans chapter 6, 1 to 11. I'm just going to read it here. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So here's the first of God's promises that he's making to you, that he's making very publicly to you. And that is this: in Christ, you died. In Christ, you died. Your rebellion, your failures, your sin, your guilt, your punishment, and your slavery to selfishness have been put to death forever when Christ died. And here's the thing is, you will face days. You will face days, and you've likely already faced them since you became a Christian, where you are simply overcome with a sense of guilt for your sin. You'll be so aware of how you've sinned, and even after becoming a Christian, and you'll feel condemnation from your sin, and you'll feel like God has rejection and punishment in store for you instead of love and eternal life. And it will not help to think that these things just don't matter to God. It will not help just to tell yourself, oh, it doesn't matter, God doesn't punish sin, because it's not true. Your conscience in the Bible will tell you otherwise. The only solid comfort that you can take hold of when you are feeling condemned is the promise from God that when Jesus died, you died. It counts for you. Your sin was nailed on the cross. Your judgment, your execution has already occurred. Those sins that come to mind have already been punished. Your record was put on Jesus, and he was crushed for it out of great love for you. And on those days, you need to remember that promise, that baptism is a public sign of. You don't need to fear death and being condemned for your sin, because in Christ, you have already died. When you go down under the water in baptism, it signifies that you share in Jesus' death and his burial. And we'll bring you back up, I promise. But you will also face death. You will face days, and you've already faced them, where you will be very tempted. You'll be very tempted to ignore and disobey God, to live as a stranger or as an enemy of God instead of as God's beloved child. You will face days when you are tempted that way. And that's really what every single temptation is, to sin. It is sin asking you, if you turn on God, if you were offered something enjoyable in return. And that's been a struggle in my life every single day since I've become a Christian. It's a struggle of every single Christian ever. And this is why God gives baptism to you as a public declaration that Jesus' death counts for you, that in Christ you died. The old life, that old Connor, the old Jacob, Trinity, Phil, Luke, Derek, is dead. And you will need God's assurance of this every day of your life. Because if you trust in Jesus, that old you who naturally lived apart from and in rebellion against God is dead. You'll need to preach that to yourself when you're tempted to sin, tempted to live as an enemy. You'll need to remember what God has said to you in your baptism. No, Phil, you're dead. That old Phil has died. That you are a new creation. You are now a son. You'll need to remember that. That God has promised that if you trust in Jesus, you are not the old you anymore. You died. You have died. You're no longer a slave to sin. Paul says here, listen, dead people aren't slaves anymore. So repenting and believing in Jesus takes hold of Jesus' salvation. And baptism is God wanting to gather people around you and publicly make those promises to you. The promises that became yours when you trusted in Jesus, he wants to just announce publicly to you now. His death counts for you. That's the promise he makes to you today. But he also makes the promise that in Christ you live. In Christ you live. Not only will you need to remember that the promise that he makes to you that in Christ you died, you'll also need to remember that Christ's promise to you is that now in Christ you live. When he rose, you rose. Because we're not just going to leave you under the water. We're going to drag you back up. Even if it takes every bit of strength in us, we're going to do that. Because when Christ rose, you also rose if you trust in him. See, your guilt and sin and damnation were put on him, but God's promise is also that when he rose, you rose. See, you're going to have moments, many moments where you're going to likely be to forget that, where you'll wonder if God cares about you or if God loves you. You'll think maybe that your life and what you do doesn't matter. And God knew you'd have moments like that. And that's why he's given you baptism. As a visual promise of the new life that he makes for all who trust in Jesus. Your faith in Jesus have made you reborn as a beloved child of God. You now have Jesus' relationship with God the Father. You are loved by God with a love that cannot be lost. Not even death will be able to end this relationship of love with God from you, or from God to you. Jesus defeated death's ability to end your joy when he rose from the dead. See, you will always be able to remember that just like you'll be pulled out of the water when you're baptized, I promise, that when Jesus rose from the grave, rose from the dead, so did you. Our passage tells us in verse 8 that now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. And so you are God's beloved children because he promises this to all who trust in Jesus. You do not need to feel unloved ever. In Christ you rose, and you rose to live with him as God's child. You share in the love that God has for Jesus. You also don't need to feel like that what you do doesn't matter. Now, you're not earning your salvation as you obey God because Jesus already did that for you. Instead, you're obeying God because you're his kid, and what you do matters because it pleases him when you obey him. What you do matters. You've been raised to a new life, and it matters to God, not to earn your salvation, but to walk as a child. Think of how new parents love to see their little baby learn to walk. It matters to them. Not because that baby is earning their love, but it matters to them because that is their child now. You do not need to fear death. Christ rose to eternal life. He conquered death. That means because you trust in Jesus, your death has been defeated. He changes the way now that you face death. Death used to be an executioner, the saying goes, but now death is just merely a gardener. Baptism is God's public declaration ceremony that what happened when you became a Christian, when you recognized your sin, when you renounced it and you trusted in Jesus' death and resurrection, when you said, I want God to be my Father, my King. I want that, and I trust Jesus to make it happen. God gives baptism to every believer as a gift to mark their adoption publicly. It is a visible sermon, a visible promise. A promise that in Christ you died. A promise that in Christ you have risen and you now live. These promises God proved when he raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. These promises God publicly declares with baptism. And it is a very humble action to publicly receive this gift from God. This is not an act of pride where you're saying, I am a strong Christian. In fact, this is an action of humility when you say, I need this promise publicly from God. I want it. I need it. Your faith in Jesus has saved you, and God wants to publicly declare that with baptism. And the Bible says that we are to baptize those who publicly confess faith in Jesus, because those are who God's promises, that's who they apply to, and those are the promises belong to, those who would publicly confess faith in Jesus. Now we'll hear these dear children of God publicly confess that these promises apply to them, not because they have achieved it, but because simply they trust in Jesus. And so I'm going to ask those who will be baptized today to come forward.